Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Rock music and yoga. It may not be such a stretch. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Ahead today, why yoga and music are becoming a winning combo. And later, Belize-born British composer Erilyn Wallen talks about getting her music on the space shuttle. Yoga music. That often suggests a kind of new-agey, vaguely Indian-sounding tune, maybe with a gurgling stream in the background. But that image is starting to change. A growing number of yoga classes today are accompanied by live music. Rock and hip-hop musicians, never really known as exemplars of clean living, are taking up yoga in droves. And this weekend, the first edition of the Wanderlust Festival takes place in Lake Tahoe, California. It's a three-day event featuring some of today's leading yoga teachers and an impressive bill of musicians, including this guitarist, Khaki King, as well as Michael Franti, Andrew Bird, Broken Social Scene, and others. We get a couple of views from the festival today. Joining us first is the festival's co-founder, Skylar Grant. She's also the director of the Kula Yoga Project here in New York, but she is in Lake Tahoe's Squaw Valley for the Wanderlust Festival. Hi, Skylar.
Hey, John. It's great to be on the show. I'm a big fan.
Thanks. Now, you founded this festival with your husband, Jeff Krasno, who owns the Valor Music Group. Where did, which is obviously coming from the music side of it, how did the two of you, you know, get the inspiration for combining forces like this?
Well, I have to actually give props to my dear husband Jeff, because he has been the he was really the impetus behind making it happen, and it was initially his idea, and I've been the facilitator on this. But he was down on a yoga retreat that I was leading down in Costa Rica, and the truth is he's not actually much of a yoga guy. that's a secret between you and me.
I'm afraid I have to join him. I'm a little out of my element here with all the yoga stuff. But I mean,
well, we'll have to change that. But in 2010, you can hit Wanderlust, and that's actually the point of this festival is to open it up to people like Jeff and everybody he knows in the music industry who aren't actually practicing yet. But there are a lot of people who are you know, big music fans. A ton of people in the music industry already are serious yoga practitioners. But anyway, back to where it all got started. About a year and a half ago, he was down on a retreat I was leading down in Costa Rica. And those listeners out there who've been on yoga retreats will know, you go away for 4 days, 10 days, usually to some spectacularly beautiful place with a group of people who you would never normally go away with. And at the end of that time, a lot of people are pretty fundamentally transformed by the experience, even if that wasn't their intention. Maybe they just wanted to get away from work and go do a bunch of yoga and, you know, get their abs ripped. But it is transformative for a lot of people. And I've had dozens of people make some pretty major changes in their life after going away like that and really taking their life into perspective. And he would watch it happen over and over again, retreat after retreat, and see this really kind of strange, diverse group of people who are in, like, the banking industry, artists, musicians, coming down and all hanging out and having a great time together and doing a ton of yoga and ton of meditation and then going out at night and maybe going to a bar and having some drinks and hearing a local band and having a great time, but then also having a really deep time. Mm-hmm. And one time we came back from one of these trips, and he's like, I really can't believe, A, how normal all the people who come on these retreats are, and B, how transformative it is and how amazing the experience is. He said, you know, it'd be so cool if you could combine that with what a music festival has, which is the massive group experience, a ton of
and
fun.
Also sometimes transformative, you know?
And also transformative, but in a really different way, yeah. Like not nearly as introspective and intentionally transformative, but still hugely galvanizing. And
right.
So, and in a lot of ways, you're completely right. At the end of it, you're ripped open, and you've met a ton of people that you didn't know before, and you just get a perspective on what you're going back into, which is your life.
So how does it actually? I mean, do you have music? Is the plan to have music actually accompanying the yoga sessions, the classes?
Many of the teachers who are teaching already, you know, play music during their classes, and there's of course an iPod hookup in every class. So there's a lot of people who are just playing their favorite mixes, and then there's a number of classes that have live bands. We have a great, amazing stand-up bassist in Garth Stevenson who's accompanying a class, and then a super popular an MC named MC Yogi. He's a San Francisco-based guy who's got his DJ here, and they're accompanying classes live. And then our biggest event is on Saturday. Shiva Ray and Michael Franti are playing together, and leading class together, and that'll have like 1,000 people practicing, and the same thing with John Friend and Jai Uttal on Sunday. So those are our big rock and music classes.
Now, you mentioned Michael Franti, who you know is the leader of the band Spearhead, and has had a couple of bands before that. He seems to be really into this. I mean, you know,
he's our poster boy.
And here at Soundcheck, we all remember him because he showed up, walking the streets of the city, coming down to our studio with no shoes on, you know, because he said walking around the streets of New York with no shoes in his bare feet because, you know, that's just what he does. He likes to, as he said, to kind of feel the earth beneath his feet.
Right.
So he practices yoga?
Yeah, he's a really serious yogi, and he actually teaches yoga too, not, you know, it's sort of as a side gig. And but he's been involved in a lot of yoga related events. I know he played at the last Yoga Journal conference in San Francisco for a huge crowd, and with accompanying a class. And there's a lot of classes that go on that have musical accompaniment, you know, pre-recorded or live, and sometimes it's really traditional music. It's tablas and sitar and harmonium, and then sometimes it's, you know, it's a DJ spinning pretty, you know, deep hip hop or electronica.
And sometimes it's Michael Franti sitting there in the classroom and perhaps even singing a song like this one called Sometimes.
I'm so alive. Sometimes I feel like I could zoom across the sky, and sometimes I wanna cry. Most people try to aim to please, but a lot of them are kind of weak in the knees. Learning late about the birds and the bees, falling in love and wanna be set free. Playing ball at the age of 13, everybody's going up with the dream. I never noticed what could happen to me. Time flies when you walk in the streets. 1 minute got you holding the nates. The next minute got you falling on your faces. Mean city is a nasty place.
Michael Franti, singer, songwriter, rapper, leader of the band Spearhead, and practicing yogi, as Skylar Grant was telling us. She is co-founder of the Wanderlust Festival, the inaugural edition, taking place this weekend at Lake Tahoe's Squaw Valley in California. Also joining us on the line, and again from Lake Tahoe, is Caitlin Quisgard. She's editor-in-chief of Yoga Journal. Caitlin, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've actually been in some of the classes that Michael Franti has accompanied, right?
I have definitely had the pleasure, three or four times.
How does that work? Is it different from a regular yoga class because you have a live musician there with you?
Well, from my perspective, it's a lot more fun. Not that it isn't fun to also have a quiet, going deep class, but the classes I've taken that Michael Franti has accompanied have been so incredibly energizing and enthusiastic, and that particular song that you just played is one that he often, three or four times at least in my experience, he has played while accompanying yoga teachers teaching. So when you're doing something incredibly difficult that you feel like you just can't possibly do, and And I have to say that even the people who look like pretzels and can do, look like they can bend in all sorts of crazy contortions, it usually takes a lot of effort for them to do.
Yeah.
And so he'll improv some lyrics, so he'll change a few things around so that he's actually talking about the pose name that you're doing.
So he'll actually say, you can get that foot behind your neck. Go.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and he knows just exactly what's going on. I mean, he can't be in your own body, but he's done the practice so much, and he has it so internalized, and he's so in tune to the room that he gives you just what you need. And when you're pushing up into what we call wheel pose, so like a full back bend, and he sings, sometimes I feel like I can do anything, sometimes I'm so alive. People are hooting and hollering and letting it rip in the practice. So it makes it fun, and people will get up and dance, and usually the teachers will encourage, like there'll be some times of actual, you know, dancing, and then back on your mat.
So in Yoga Journal, in your introductory column, you write that you came to yoga after being a punk rock fan, right?
Yeah. Okay. So you're talking about in my editor's letter from our music issue, which was in June. As a teenager, I had a crazy existence. I grew up in Northern California, and my mom was actually a devotee of a guru, and so I lived for a while in an ashram as a teenager. And so, of course, I had to rebel and be a punk rocker. and I actually loved punk rock. I went to see the Dead Kennedys and Flipper a lot since I was a San Francisco girl. And you know, spent all my time and money going to see Susie and the Banshees and folks like that. And I also went to the ashram where there was not so much what people think of as yoga in the world today, not so much the physical practice, but a lot of chanting and meditation. And the chanting was just as raucous, like live tablas, harmonium, dancing. And so you could groove on that, too.
So despite the difference in the sound, you were feeling kind of the same energy from both sources, I guess.
Well, I don't know that I would say the same energy, but I would say for my own self, I could really connect to the rhythm and maybe lose my own self-identity a little bit in either place.
Mm. Caitlin Quisgard is editor-in-chief of the Yoga Journal, and Skylar Grant is also with us, co-founder of the Wanderlust Festival, the inaugural edition this weekend in Lake Tahoe.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
Most of the music that's been important to me was made by people who were on the edge, maybe even over the edge. And I wonder how different their music would have been if they'd been spiritually centered and had found a kind of balance in their lives.
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.
And while you're there, leave a comment. We'd like to know what you think about this combination of yoga and music. And Skylar, Caitlin, I'll throw this question out to both of you. I mean, is there a risk? I mean, Caitlin, you mentioned, like, you know, the Dead Kennedys or Susie and the Banshees. I mean, those were great bands, but there was an edge to that music. Is there a risk that, you know, if you calm those musicians down and get them really spiritually centered, that maybe they lose that edge? You're laughing. I know I'm indulging in many stereotypes here, but just go with me. What would you say to that someone who throws that stereotype at you, as I just did?
Yeah, you might not want to make all of the artists too healthy. A little bit of dysfunction is probably really nurturing their dark side. but there are a lot of, I mean, I think there are a lot of performers out there, and this goes for musicians and actors and, you know, all kinds of artists of all types, that, and they have a public persona, and they have a creative persona, and then they have a very personal persona, and that might include any variety of spiritual practices or other deep personal practices. So I don't think one necessarily hinders the other if you're going to actually investigate getting a little deeper inside and connecting, which is really what yoga is about, is finding a connection, whether that connection is to yourself or to God or to other people. It's connecting. So if you go in there and you start to connect, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to, you know, blissfulness and light is going to come out. It might be really, really, really dark, and it might make you an even more interesting punk rocker. I would have to disagree. Caitlin, what do you think?
Well, I just also think there's an element of one of the benefits of a yoga practice is learning fearlessness. And if you really come to a place of fearlessness, you could go probably far deeper into your darker spots and expose them in a way that could be, you know, incredibly creative and fabulous and maybe seem dark to the rest of the world, but to have the fearlessness to go to those places and express it is something that yoga could actually help with.
I know that.
And also in terms of thinking about, my expertise is not so much in musicians who do yoga, but I wanted to think about that before this show, and I went back and read, there's a, Sting wrote the foreword to a yoga book written by Ganga White, who's a well-known yoga teacher, and he talks about singing in the shower as a yoga practice, but one of the things that he says is, a well-tuned instrument is a healthy instrument. So he's talking about doing the physical practice. A well-tuned instrument is a healthy instrument. Yoga helps us resonate more efficiently with the universe. And I think that's a good way of looking at it, is like he sees his physical practice as something that allows for greater expression, not only because he's, say, physically more fit and healthy and able to express himself in that way in the world, but also it gives him an opportunity to connect with himself and with the whole universe and then know what he wants to say and how he wants to express it.
So that's Sting you're talking about.
Yeah.
I you know, that all sounds fine. I mean, there are those who would say that the kind of disaffected quality of, you know, some of his earlier music might actually be a little more interesting than the person
right.
who seems to be kind of in tune with his life and his universe and stuff. But let me come at this from another angle. Skylar, are there people who practice yoga who consider music to be an intrusion, to be...
Absolutely.
Okay, so how do you deal with that?
Well, they probably don't come to Wanderlust.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
But just in terms of, like, in general practice.
Well, I would say in a general practice, I mean, from my perspective, I love both. I love to practice in silence, and when you practice in silence, it's a different effect. I mean, you have a different relationship to the inside of your brain and the sound of your breath and your own body, and it's definitely a quieter, more introspective place to put yourself, and I love to practice all different kinds of music. And I think I sort of look at music as a little bit of a crutch, almost, but a crutch that I love, and clearly there's a lot of people who feel like me, but it's a really good way to get out of your own head, and that a lot of what yoga is about learning how to watch your mind and control all of those little nattering voices that are pushing you back and pushing you forward and eating up, you know, the clarity of your brain. So how do we get to that place? Music is an incredible vehicle for that. You can just plug in and turn off your brain so much easier if you've got this external source to help you get there. And then on physical levels, also, there's got a beat, there's got all these things that help juice you up to move physically. When you don't have music, I think the work is a little harder for the practitioner, but also, you know, also super good. And those people who would say that, you know, they would never practice with music or they would prefer not to when they come to a class with music, it sort of is jarring for them. I think that's really what it is. It feels like a distraction, or it feels like something that's taking them out of what's happening right there in their own body, breath, mat space.
So when you mentioned before MC Yogi, what does he do, actually? I mean, you know, he's not doing what Caitlin was saying before, where he's improvising new lyrics to help you get through the next form, is he? He's got something kind of older?
No, he's a rapper, and he's an MC, and he takes a lot of traditional chants, Sanskrit chants, and it sort of tricks them out. It's, you know, it's kind of ironic, but at the same time, he's a really well-versed yogi, and it's not, you know, it's not that he's not poking fun at all of the form. It's just honoring it in a totally modern form.
In a very contemporary way, yeah.
So then mix in traditional beats. Check it out.
Hanuman G, son of the wind, lord of the monkeys, Rama's best friend. You eliminate illusion and destroy all sin, and you're known as Shiva's incarnation. You're the champion of truth with the thunderbolt body, the mighty monkey god who embodies the breath of Ram, Prana Shakti. You achieve victory like the movie Rocky. You carry a club to smash the thugs. You're the perfect servant, the embodiment of love. You're the face of grace, and your heart is pure. You make the whole demon race
That is MC Yogi with Krishna Das doing a bit of Vedic chant here. And you got the Indian flute and the harmonium and the tabla all married to this very contemporary hip-hop beat. And, of course, Yogi rapping over all of it. And we are looking at the combination of yoga and music. And, Caitlin, is this a particularly Western phenomenon? Is this an American thing? Is it a generational thing?
That is such an interesting question that I don't know that anyone really has the answer to. But it would seem that marrying rock and roll to yoga is definitely an American thing of the moment. I just wanted to say about MC Yogi for one quick second. The thing that he does that I think is so cool is that he tells his raps are the stories of the Hindu deities. So all those Sanskrit chants are chants to the deities, and he actually lets you know who you're chanting to or what you're chanting about, which a whole lot of Western yogis who take up the practice of kirtan, it's called, of that call and response chanting, don't necessarily know what they're chanting about. They just do it because someone else is doing it, like the way we do many things in our life. So that's, I think, one of the really powerful things about what he's up to is he's hip and cool, but he's also delivering important information.
He knows, yeah, he knows the old Vedic scriptures that these tales are drawn from.
Right, and he makes them really accessible. But to your point about is this a new modern Western phenomenon, I mean, I think we have to say yes. And I think that, you know, yoga, in my job at Yoga Journal, I feel like it's always my job to try to come up with a definition of what is yoga in this moment. That's sort of what the magazine does. And it's such an ever-changing definition. I mean, there is a real definition that yoga means union, and yoga is the state of being in which you're the union. You're simultaneously aware of being your own individual self and being connected to everything in the universe. And that's what the practice is an attempt to be in that state, or moments of experiencing moments of that state. And so
that's
evolving forever.
And it's evolving this weekend, isn't it, there where the two of you are in Lake Tahoe at this first edition of the Wanderlust Festival. Caitlin Quisgard is the editor-in-chief of Yoga Journal, and Skylar Grant is the co-founder of the Wanderlust Festival and also runs the Kula Yoga Project back home here in New York. To the two of you, Caitlin, Skylar, have a great weekend, and thanks for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you for having us.
And here's Shanti Ashtangi from a yoga practitioner by the name of Madonna. Coming up next, music from Spain, Ireland, and California in our Picks of the Week. And after that, composer and songwriter Erlyn Wallen. She was born in Belize, trained at the Dance Theater of Harlem, and became the first black woman to have a piece played at the Proms in London, where she lives. She'll join us for a live performance.